This is the Shanice Lewis Show, the number one podcast for plus-size women. With your host, the queen of curvy conversation, Shanice Lewis.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Shanice Lewis. Today is Wednesday, December 5th, 2018. Make sure you're following this show's social media pages on Facebook at The Shanice Lewis Show and on Instagram and Twitter at Shanice Show. You can also subscribe and listen to the show on iTunes, Google Play Music, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or your favorite podcasting app. Today we have a very special guest. Alexis Henry is a model of African and Irish descent represented by IPM Model Management. As a full-time model, Alexis can be recognized from working with brands such as Dia & Co., Reb Dolls, Ashley Stewart, Old Navy, Nike, Urban Decay Cosmetics, Savage Fenty, Universal Standard, and Fashion Nova. In addition to modeling, Alexis has produced workshops on body confidence and recently began speaking out to children in New York City charter schools, concentrating on finding self-love and respect. She is working to banish size and beauty stereotypes by not only illustrating and teaching body confidence, but also sharing her world through fashion projects and modeling. Alexis hopes to encourage others to be kinder to themselves by promoting mental clarity and size representation. And we're so excited to talk to her. Let's welcome Alexis to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm so excited to talk to you. I know you're a very busy woman, so thank you for taking out the time today to speak with me.
Of course, of course. How are you doing?
I'm good, I'm good. So tell me, growing up in Ohio, were you confident as a child, or was that something that you had to grow into?
Oh, my goodness, no. I wouldn't say that I was totally not confident, but I definitely grew through that pubescent teen phase to where I was just very unsure of myself. I know that when I was growing up, I was a lot taller than most people, and I developed, you know, my body at like 11, 12. So for me to be tall and thicker at a young age, it was hard. It was really hard. And I came from a very rural area. So, you know, culturally, you know, certain things that I went through, I feel like maybe if I grew up in New York, it'd be a little bit different, but I wasn't always confident. It was definitely a teaching mechanism.
So tell us, how did you get started in the industry as a model? How did you go from being a little insecure to wanting to put your face out and be judged for the world?
Funny story, I was actually in high school, and I was a senior in high school, and there was two scouts had found me. I was walking up to the concession stand with my mom, and these two random people just come up to me, and they're like, hey, we think you'd be a great model. And like, I looked at my mom, and I was like, what'd you just say? And I was like, okay. Now, I had always been into fashion. Like, since I was a little girl, I've always wanted to live in New York. I've always wanted to work in fashion. And to some degree, you know, whether that be styling or writing, I've always loved fashion. But modeling was something that, for me, it wasn't like that's what I was going to do. So when these two scouts found me at 17, I began working with them and did my first test shots with them. And ironically, they ended up being a scam agency. So they totally
took my
money.
Did you go to one of those conventions that cost a lot of money?
No, it wasn't even a convention. It was like this, and it's so funny because I'm from Ohio, so for them to be like, to claim that they're so notable, you know, I was naive, and my parents were just trying to make me happy, but no, they were just like a small owned agency, and I did my first test shots. I think I paid like $40. I did some test shots with them, and they are terrible, by the way. Thank God for growth.
Right.
But they end up closing down, and but the interest was still there. So I was still kind of like, well, no, I still kind of want to do this. So I ended up going to college, and my freshman year, I had linked up with a stylist who was a design major also at the same college, and we did, like, some freelance testing, and we were like, you know, just kind of shooting around and just seeing, you know how good I am at it. And I actually ended up being kind of good. So from that point on, for the next few years forward to that, I, you know, did it totally freelance and just learned the game, learned my angles, learned how to pose. And it was kind of nice because I love fashion so much. So I was able to, like, be totally creative in my shoots. And then it wasn't until, like, a few years after that I ended up getting signed to an agency. And then that's what started my professional career.
So at one point you decided to relocate to New York City to pursue your career. Was that a big culture shock for you?
Yeah, I mean, originally, like I said, you know, since I was a kid, I've always wanted to live in New York. So this is like where I'm at right now is like where I've always wanted to be. But before I moved to New York in 2013, I just up and left and went to art school in Los Angeles. So I actually started in Los Angeles. In 2013. So I started there. I was there for about 2.5-3 years, and then I made the move to New York.
So when you got to the big city and you started pursuing your career professionally, what were some challenges you had getting started?
Well, you know, I would say when I was professional, when I first started becoming a professional model, I would say the first few challenges for me would have to be adjusting, because I feel like I am what I like to call a super creative. Like, I like to get my hands in everything. I might not be a master of it all, but I like to at least touch it. And for me, it was separating the business aspect from the creative aspect, and just knowing that in order to be the best that you want to be in this business, you have to take a back seat and just learn, soak it in, and it takes time. And that was hard for me because I was super anxious and wanting to do this so bad because I knew that I could do it so well. But it just took time for me to really just learn my body, learn, you know, my brand. You know, people don't realize when they say they want to become a model, it's like, yes, that's amazing. That's an amazing goal. But understand that you are your brand. So it's going to take time to develop your look. It's going to take time to, you know, learn how to pose and learn how to move on set and become fluid. So it was just a good little technical things for me.
And you just mentioned it takes time to develop your look. So being a biracial woman, did your ethnicity with your ambiguously looking ethnicity help you excel in the modeling industry, or did agents not know how to market you properly?
Well, I would have to say a mixture of both. I do have a very ambiguous look, so some people might mistake me for Latino. Some people might mistake me; they think I'm Black, which I am. You know, so I mean, it kind of goes both ways. But at the same time, you know, when I first started, because I am so ambiguous looking, and I obviously do have very prominent features, the first agency that I did sign to was unable to figure out how to market me. So we went through that long phase of trying to figure out how to, you know, do hair color and how am I going to do this and how am I going to do that. So it was like a really hard, challenging time at that point because I just really didn't know, like, okay, I just want to be me. Like, but it's not always that easy. Sometimes you have to kind of like see what works for the brand and then run with that.
Now you signed to IPM Model Management, where you currently house, and did she change your look? What did she do to give your career a boost?
Well, my agent is amazing. She is consistent. I call her mother because she is like my second mom. When she signed me last October, I had already left my previous agency. I had like black hair and I hated it and it just wasn't suitable for my skin tone. So I end up, you know, leaving, of course, on good terms with my older agency, and then I changed my hair color more to my natural color, which is like a reddish, blondish color. And then she had met me a few months post that time, and then she just helped me develop and strengthen and kind of really polish my look, just kind of really putting me on and really dropping gems on how to really succeed in this industry, which I will forever be thankful for her. But she really like straightened me up in a sense. So
yeah, and I went back and I looked at your old pictures. I mean, I think I think you're way prettier with your natural hair and the natural color.
Yeah.
I like that better.
Everybody
so it
says
works.
That. That's a good thing. Yeah. And I feel more me, you know, I feel more confident. For years, another thing with being ambiguous and more predominantly Black than anything is that for me, you know, at the time that I started modeling, I feel like natural hair wasn't as accepted as it is today.
Right.
And we're only talking like 6-7 years ago. And now
right.
for me to be able to embrace my natural hair and for me to be me, it feels so good.
Yes, yes. So for those listening that are trying to pursue a career in modeling and want to get to where you are, tell them how important it is to find the right agency that is a great fit for you, that believes in you.
Yes, if you ever want to get into modeling, understand that when you do get into an agency and you do start, you know, venture off into the professional world, it's so important to find an agent that not only is persistent with you, but listens to the goal that you want to achieve. Because the beauty of being a model is that you are an entrepreneur and you are your own brand. So you need someone that will sit there and listen to you and knock off goals off of your own list to achieve. Because it's not just about money. It's about your relationship with your agent, your relationship with your clients, the clients you're booking. And it's really, really important that you are happy with the work that you're producing, not just for the sake of being a model, but for the sake of doing things that you are truly happy about. And it's really important that you find an agency and an agent that really cares about the thing that you want to accomplish in your career.
Right. And do you find that what agency works for one model may not be where another model excels? So sometimes you have to find what works for you. And you just can't listen to everybody and follow everybody else's path.
Of course. That is so key, you know. You know, even my previous agency, they're amazing people. But unfortunately, we weren't able to, you know, make a lot of money together. However, and that's not the same for everybody. It's not the same for everybody. Some people are excelling with them, and that was their fit. You know, my agent now is my fit because I know that I will get a phone call at least once a day explaining of who I'm getting submitted to, what I'm doing this week, who's looking at me, what I need to work on, what I need to polish. I mean, it's just a different relationship that we have. So, again, just because you go into an agency and you find it's not working, that doesn't mean that you lose hope. That means that you reassess what you're doing, reassess who you're working with, and try to figure out a solution to make it better. And if not, put different people in your corner.
Right. So when did you know that your career was booming enough that you could be a model full time?
Oh, well, you know, this is all recent for me. You know, I mean, I've booked work and I've done that, but I've made money, but I feel like it wasn't until honestly the past 4 or 5 months that I've honestly felt that this is my full time, you know, and this is my focus for right now. So, I mean, again, it's a work in progress. Some models start and they're booming within 6 months, you know, some models like me start and it takes them a couple years to really get into that mode. But I think everyone's journey is different. And I also think that, you know, for me, I'm blessed that I had this long journey to success, because had I not, I wouldn't be as smart and as keen as the things I am now.
Right. So how many years have you been modeling now?
Well, it's been about 7 years. 7 years, but professionally, 3.5.
Okay. So you just bloomed a little slower, but then when you bloomed, you boomed.
Yeah. But again, everyone's moment is different, you know, and I always discuss that with people that I know, and they're always like, wow, like, you've been trying to do this for a long time. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And I'm like, I'm so happy that you're doing things. I just saw you on Old Navy. And I'm like, thank you. And it's amazing to see the difference, because looking back, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I was just like, wow, like, I've came a long way, but I never quit. So that's always kept me going.
So one of the clients that you've had the opportunity to model for is Savage Fenty. So tell me, how was that experience, and did you get to meet Rihanna?
No, I did not get to meet Rihanna. That is a lifelong goal because since I was in high school, I always get compared to her. I don't know why. But it's a compliment, but I never understood that. But no, I mean, it was amazing. I mean, it is a brand that is about true inclusivity and body positivity and its power. And it was amazing. It was always amazing. So I'm forever grateful for that opportunity.
And another big thing that you've accomplished is walking in New York Fashion Week. Tell us about that.
Oh, that was, you want to talk about anxiety. That was like the most amazing, scariest experience of my life because New York Fashion Week is like the emblem of fashion in New York, especially in September and February when they have shows and stuff. And for me, you know, there was one show that it was for Fashion Week, and in the entire lineup, and I mean every designer for the entire week, I was the only plus-size model. And it was unfortunate at first because when I first walked into the show, everyone thought I was a makeup artist. And
yeah.
I was just like, no, I'm actually a model, but okay. But, you know, it's just like I said, it's one of those things where people are not still used to it, and you have to break down that barrier. So doing that show was super empowering for me because I felt like I'm making a difference somehow. Walking in Fashion Week, this past Fashion Week in September, I walked for a designer named Fee Noel, and I was also the only plus model in that show. And, you know, she did the collaboration with LeBron. And, I mean, there were just so many amazing elite people that I look up to, and I almost broke down crying in the lineup because I was just like, this, I've made it. Like, I'm making it, you know? And Fashion Week is just, it's just like a make it or break it. Like, it's in, it's out. It's like all of this frustration and anxiety to this one 20-second moment, and it's over. And you just feel like, wow, I did that, you know?
When you're the only plus-size model in a major fashion show, when you walk down the runway, do you feel that the crowd is extra excited to see you and you get extra love?
Yeah, I do. I would say majority of it is like, oh, you know, like, oh, okay. I remember, like, because I'm from Ohio, so you know LeBron's from Ohio. So when I walked to see Noel, like, in my head, I was like, whatever you do, Alexis, do not go on that runway. I searching for LeBron. Just get to the end and get back. But, you know, and I look at the video and, like, it was just cool to see all people kind of like tilt their head to the side, like, okay, I'm with it. I'm here for it, you know. And then there's some people that don't even make it a big deal because they're with it. They're with the program. I would say the first time that I was the only plus-size model, which was last fall's Fashion Week, it was for a streetwear brand. And that alone, streetwear alone, you know, to be dipping into the plus community is like still fairly new. So when I walked on the runway, I just seen all these eyes like just gravitate towards me. And I'm just like, oh, this is the time. And I look at the videos after and everyone's just like, whoa, you know, so a lot of people are very, very supportive. And then there are some, of course, that are just kind of like, why, you know, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's awesome. So tell me, how do you balance being a model, building your career, and being a mother?
Well, it's not easy, but every single moment I think in my career, it makes it worthwhile because I do have a daughter, and it just makes me want to do the most that I can do to the best of my ability for her. It's not easy. I can honestly say that, but I will say that, you know, I have an amazing man that makes it easier for me. And as you know, we definitely work to make this as easy for both of us because he has a busy career himself. So it's not easy, but honestly, it's time management. It's planning your day around your child. Luckily, you know, she's in some great after school programs that she enjoys. Because she's an only child, so she kind of enjoys that, you know, that kid interaction all day. You know, there have been times when I first came to New York that I took her to castings with me. you know, in New York Fashion Week. Not the client castings or request castings, but there was a time and point where, like, there was one day and it was, like, a bunch of, like, guerrilla-style castings where you just kind of, like, show up. And I had to bring her with me because, unfortunately, my man, you know, he had a meeting and he was away, and I had to do it. But she's a sport and she loves it, and, you know, you just kind of work through it. You just work through it.
Well, that's great that you have somebody to help you and support you, because I imagine being a model and a single mother would be 10 times harder when you're waiting for checks to come in and things need to be paid.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. It would be a lot harder. It would be a lot harder.
So your daughter has inspired you to do things in the New York school system, like workshops, and you have a nonprofit. So let's talk about that for a minute. First, tell me about your workshops on body confidence and why that is important to you.
Well, you know, for me, I feel like it's so important to implement that in education because, I mean, and not necessarily in schools. I just had a great chance to do it with a specific school in the Bronx. And I feel like I didn't have that growing up. And I didn't have, you know, I didn't have that safe space. You know, you always have your parents to kind of answer questions that you have about the world. And you always have, you know, your idols that look up to you. But you never really have someone that's, like, in your space and, like, asking you to talk to them. And for me, doing a nonprofit for, you know, young girls was a chance for me to learn about myself in a new way, so to speak. And I feel like when I go into these classrooms and I talk to these girls, you know, they're already enamored with the fact that I am a model. That already, like, you know, gets their attention, which is cool because I want their attention. But we sit down and then we talk about, you know, real issues and things, and they feel safe to talk to me because they know that they don't have to be embarrassed and they can trust me, and they, you know, they have that genuine want to just talk about life. And for me, it was really important because as these girls grow, especially in a city like New York that's always changing and so fast, I just wanted to create that safe space for girls. And I know that that's what I was always missing as a kid, and I know that's even what my daughter, who is 7 years old, told me, like, that's important. And she can even, you know, articulate how important that is. So, you know, again, my nonprofit is a work in progress. It's already drafted. And I am using this school year to kind of just test out the modules I've made and the lessons I've planned. But I can't express how much amazing gratitude I have for this opportunity.
And in your intro, I mentioned that one of the things you want to promote is mental clarity and size representation. Now, what did you mean by mental clarity?
Well, I feel like as a model, you know, I have a career that is so up and down, and it can sometimes provoke a lot of, you know, anxiety, mental illness, especially. Mental illness is something that I feel like in our culture today, it is something that we shun away. And I feel like it's one of those diseases that nobody likes to talk about because nobody feels like it's all, no, not everybody, but a lot of people feel like it might not be a real disease because, of course, it's a mental disease. It's not something that you can see. It's not something that you can always detect. And that's, to me, what makes it even worse because, you know, when you get a cold, you're coughing, you're hacking. But when you have a mental illness, not everybody knows that you're having depression or anxiety. And to me, you know, growing up, and that I suffer from that a lot. I had those issues, and I'm very clear and very open about it because I really, my saying is conversation provokes change. And just getting people to talk about these things and getting people to realize that it's okay. It's okay to go through things and to seek help and to seek healthy exercises to kind of get through this. I mean, it can work. And I feel like aside from size representation is very important, but I feel like we already cracked that surface, so we're working on that. Now we got to crack this one, and we got to make not just women but all people feel comfortable with opening up about the things that they're going through, so that they can and be confident in getting that help.
Well, I love that you're doing that because, you know, while you're saying that, I'm thinking that you might be the first person that has ever came on my show and talked about mental health in regards to modeling. Because sometimes I interview the bloggers, and the bloggers are a little more open about their depression and whatnot. But you're about, you're the first person I think, you know, says that, you know, modeling can be mentally draining. So that's important.
Especially you have to imagine just being a model and always being, you know, it's all about your look. They don't even know what you sound like or what you're about. And sometimes clients aren't concerned because, again, it's a business. Mm-hmm. It can be sometimes very draining to know, like, am I not good enough? And what's my worth? Should I be doing this? And it can be very, 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 very taxing on the mind.
Right, right. Well, I am so excited that you're doing that. I hope to see you do more work in that and speak out about it. That's important. So
yes.
What is your ultimate goal with your career and your brand overall?
Well, right now I feel like I just continue want to build up my rapport with clients and continue to work and continue to build, you know, that clientele. But I would foresee myself in the next 5 years owning my own skincare or beauty business. I am very much invested in that. I love beauty. I love that creative aspect. I want to get my hands, if not first with the collaboration, to more learn about the business. But then I would also like to own my own skincare or beauty business. And then I also would like to continue my nonprofit and make it into a brick and mortar because I feel like going into classrooms is amazing, but I want to have a brick and mortar where there is an actual physical safe space for young girls. I always like mentioned it. It was like the why, but for young girls. And my man, he would like to do a nonprofit for boys. So it could be like a co-ed sort of thing, but I just foresee myself kind of doing something like that. Traveling the world, making lots of money and being very happy.
Yes. So do you have anything else coming up that we can be on the lookout for, we should be watching out for?
I'll be working with a few new clients. I don't want to say who yet because a lot of it's very, under wraps right now, but a very few popular clients that you all know and love. You will be seeing my face on, their brands, their websites, and, you know, hopefully the campaigns. So you will be seeing that. And you also will be seeing a lot more work with, you know, my mentorship program.
Nice. So tell us your official website and social media pages so we can keep up with everything you have going on.
Sure. My website is www.lexhenry.com. And there you'll find my portfolio, my videos, my blog, because I also, my background is in fashion writing. So you'll see my blogs. You will see the build of my podcast that I've been starting. I'm tapping into it. But, you know, like my agent says, girl, focus on one thing at a time. And I'm
right
at that, but I'm learning, but again, it's a new process, so I'm starting that. And then my Instagram is at the.
All right. Well, if you continue to do your podcast, you'll have to have me on as a guest.
I will, of course.
So it's been a pleasure speaking with you today. Continued success with your career. I think you're doing great things, especially with your mental clarity initiative, and just continue the amazing work.
And I really appreciate you having me, Shanice. Again, when I do my podcast, you'll be the first person I call.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And thank you to my guests this evening for being on the show. I've been your host, Shanice Lewis. Thank you for tuning in and supporting. Until next time, keep thriving in your curves and be blessed.
You've been listening to the Shanice Lewis Show. For more info about the show, visit ShaniceLewisShow.com.